Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 50, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, Father Corey Stika. Welcome to Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. Glad you could join us. We got a couple of great panelists with us this week, and we want to get right into our discussion. So first of all, Lisa, welcome back. Lisa Hendy, welcome back.
Hey, Father Corey. Great to be with you.
Always
happy
glad
Memorial Day. I know it's not as our listeners are listening, but we're recording on Memorial Day and just praying for everyone today.
Exactly. Yeah, praying for our all fallen soldiers. But yeah, we are recording this on Memorial Day, and then Maria Johnson's with us again. How are you doing, Maria?
Oh, hello. It is such a pleasure to be here. How you been, Father Corey?
Oh, doing well. Yeah, it's been going pretty good. So hard to believe we're at episode 50 of Let's Talk already. We've been going along with this pretty good, so it's been enjoyable. But it's glad to have you on again. It's been a while.
I know. Good to be here.
Well, good to be here. Good to have you here. And we're going to talk today, you know, so a while ago we had an episode on Catholic manhood. And of course, you know, we have to be fair. So now we're going to talk about Catholic womanhood. What does it mean to be a Catholic woman, a woman in the church, in the world? And of course, it's perspective that I don't understand. So hopefully I'll be more of a moderator in this discussion and letting our two great panelists kind of really talk about what their experience is of that. Kind of joked beforehand that you know, me being a moderator is kind of a familiar experience, because for quite a few years, about six years, I was the moderator, now known as spiritual advisor, to our Diocesan Council of Catholic Women group. And that's actually the first time I met Lisa in person, was in Myrtle Beach at the National Conference of Catholic Women meeting there. We happened to be both there for that meeting. But Maria, you're also involved with the Council of Catholic Women. At least you have been in the past, haven't you?
I absolutely am. In fact, it was at the parish level, the PCCW, the women at my parish in Conyers at St. Pius, who were the ones who were 100% behind me, encouraging me to write. So they were the first little platform that I had to see if maybe I could do some public speaking, if I could, you know, write things that people were interested in reading. And so I owe a debt to that at the parish level. And I've spoken at the National Council like Lisa has. And I'm pretty actively involved locally here in Alabama now with the Archdiocesan Council. So, you know, they're my go-to gals.
Oh, excellent. Now, Lisa, you're pretty busy traveling and everything, but do you get involved with your local women's group, whether it's
CCW? I haven't, because since we moved to Los Angeles, I'm still trying to actually, I shouldn't be using this excuse 3 years after moving to LA. I think in Lisa Hendy years, I've actually only lived here for 1 year, because I'm usually gone about 2/3 of the time. So, you know, I'm still trying to understand the setup of the archdiocese, and I've actually spoken at a couple of local DCCW groups, but they're not ones in my region of the archdiocese, and I have yet to permeate my region enough to understand where the meetings are. So I've spoken for the Military Council, the National, the Archdiocesan, but I'm not a current member, and I haven't figured out how to pay my dues to the membership, so... Maybe
but,
someone.
Oh, I'll hook you up. DCCW, I'll hook you up with
yeah.
that.
Hook me up, honey. Yeah,
that's how you're we going get to stuff be speaking. Done. You're going to be speaking locally. You're going to be speaking across the street pretty soon.
Well, I may have to join the Archdiocesan one in Alabama, because I'm going to be spending a good time in that neck of the woods. So But it's such a great organization, and I think so greatly needed. And a lot of people don't know of it. And if you don't, maybe we can put a link in the show notes and let people understand, because this is definitely an organization that's involved in not just, you know, fellowship for women and faith formation, but organization at hierarchical levels as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think, of course, you know, most people are familiar with the Knights of Columbus, which is kind of the men's organization through much of the church in the United States and other countries. But yeah, you're right. I think outside of local parish levels, whether they're known as, you know, altar societies or, you know, women's circles or parish council of Catholic
here.
Women.
Yeah.
Celdalities, or, you know, there's all these different groups and organizations, but on a parish level, you know, the importance of a parish women's organization, unfortunately, yeah, it isn't as well known. So Maria, why don't you talk about your experience as part of PCCW, DCCW structure?
Well, I think that the original creation of the organization was really to do the work of the bishops, right? Was to do the work of the church, mm-hmm. Which is
work with the bishops,
I think
absolutely.
Historically, yeah, which is really historically what women do. I mean, I just saw a beautiful example of it in my own parish this past week. We had an elder pass away. You know, someone who had been in the church for decades and everyone knew and loved in the community, and you know, one phone call hit a phone tree, and we had a repast for after the funeral that was unseen in these parts. And it was really put together by the women who just said, oh, yes, we need to come together. And this is what we do. And so we have actually our organization as a sodality. We have about 30 very active women. And it's family, you know, and in a culture today where we move around so much. I mean, this is the third place that I live in that is, you know, I mean, not a third house in the same community. But, you know, we've lived in Florida, Georgia, Germany, and now Alabama. Yeah. You know, we don't have the extended women in the family to help out. So it's the women of the church family who are the ones who come together and form that family unit, that community. And it's really quite beautiful because nobody has to say, these are the things that you have to do. Everybody just kind of comes together and knows what they have to do. And it's really beautiful to see in a small community how that actually plays out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder, too, if that's a little bit of a lost art in today's world, that with so many women working outside of the home, or, you know, doing different things with their time, pulled in so many different directions, that organizational membership is on the decline. And we find women reaching out to, you know, organizations online. I'm doing virtual community, perhaps at the loss of these local communities. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And I have two daughters who are, you know, grown women with family, you know, one with a son already. And I look at them and I say, you know, where are you getting your community? Where are you finding your fit and finding mm-hmm. other women who are like-minded and who share your values, you know, and they kind of shrug, and they have some civic organizations that they belong to. But at the end of the day, they go to mass, and that's where, yeah. you know, that's where they're finding their fit with the values. But I don't see them in like the women's sodality, because I don't think it's age relevant to them. And I think that's the point that you were making. I mean, they're finding their fit, but it's not in that particular organization. And I think maybe we need to do a little better job. I need to maybe talk to them a little. All right, I'll talk to them after this podcast.
Hey, so we're talking about these issues.
Hey, girls, let's have some tea. Let's have a cup of coffee. But this is what you have to do. But, I can't, as a mother, say this is what you have to do either. They have to find themselves and they have to find their way into it. But I think that we do, you know, maybe have to reach out in a different way to the younger women. That's a challenge.
Well, and the interesting thing is that I think that they're gathering. You know, you see so many active apostolates to women, whether it's in Dow, whether it's the SEAT conferences, which are just absolutely alive with young Catholic women, whether it's something like the Genius Conference or Take Up and Read or Blessed Is She, you know, it's happening. perhaps more at a grassroots level than an institutional level. And part of that is that we need to meet people right where they are. And, you know, I think a lot of these groups that are more formal groups with more, we'll say, seasoned members, like Maria
is
and
that
I,
what we are?
Like maybe, you know, a meeting at like a 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning isn't going to work for everybody.
Nope.
So we got to find people right where they are.
Yeah. I wonder too.
And again, this isn't an issue affecting just women. You know, we see it with men's groups as well. If you kind of get the core, and if there's that core isn't open to the ideas and the thoughts of younger people, sometimes you see that too, where, oh no, we've always done it this way. And, you know, I'm not saying your particular group, but I have seen, again, both men's and women's groups where young people don't feel as welcome, you know, because they've got different ways of looking at things. And those, oh, but we've done it this way since my grandma's grandma was a part of this organization. Right. It's like, right. You know, but maybe that's not the best way to do it anymore. You know,
yeah, but I had a great experience up in state was that in. I think I was in Connecticut. This spring has been really crazy. I think I was in Connecticut speaking at a women's conference in the Diocese of Norwich. And it was really beautiful because the conference was held at a girls' high school. And the attendees at the conference were largely, you know, probably 30s and up. 30 everywhere from, I think I had somebody who was in her late 80s that was at the conference. Oh, wow. Hundreds of women.
That's awesome.
But the great thing was that they involved the high school students in putting on the day. And they were there. I think they were there largely, they thought probably to get their service hours for high school. But it was so cool to see through the course of the day just how these young women, these young high school students became so enmeshed with the mission and the vision of the day. And they, by the end of the day, were saying, oh, we can't wait to come back next year. And, you know, their energy and their vision brought something special.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's great.
And we should really do that everywhere. I belong to an organization called Daughters of Mary, which I think was kind of unique maybe to this area. It's kind of grown. But I meet in town and I thought, and it meets at 10, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. So I thought that it was going to be. And so I thought it was going to be. What did you call me? Seasoned? We're going to have a chat the next time.
I called myself seasoned.
But it's not. There are a lot of young mothers that are there that and kids are always welcome. You know, the little ones, you know, the infants are always there, you know, and they have a nice little room if they need to retire to it. But it's fantastic. And we bring in the young women from the local university that is a public university. Mm-hmm. And they come and they join us. And we have dinners where we invite the young women from the colleges to have a home cooked meal, to have some fellowship. And so what happens is that we do have this generational mix, and it's natural. It's the way it's supposed to be. You know, and what they bring to the table, their youth and their vigor and their ideas and sometimes their silliness. I mean, they've got a couple of seasoned ladies doing hip hop dancing, you know, on Friday mornings because they feel comfortable to, you know, enough to invite us, you know, and it's in those social moments, not in the structured religious moment of having this meeting, you know, this Bible study, but it's when you can be a witness to, you know, a long marriage, when you can be a witness to, you know, maybe living with suffering, you know, with an illness or something like that, to these young girls when we're out dancing hip hop or meeting them for coffee at the local coffee shop or, you know, starting for, they have a big deal. They do a big deal about having smoothie. Can I push Smoothie King? They have to have their protein shake or whatever it is that they're doing, you know, and they invite us and it's lovely to participate.
Very good. Well, you're kind of touching on it a little bit, kind of where we kind of discuss is, you know, what do you see the role of women in the church? You know, I know big question, or John Paul II wrote a beautiful document on, you know, the feminine genius and the, you know, the role of women. But, you know, what do you see your role as women in the church, especially when it comes to the future of the church, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 years down the road, you know, as we're looking forward in the church? You know, I'd like to kind of gear that way, because, of course, that's, I think, an important part of Catholic womanhood is what is the Catholic side of it? What is your role?
Yeah, that is such a great question. If you'd asked me that question 10 years ago, I might have answered it a little differently than I will right now. It's interesting that when you broach that question, a lot of times it eventually veers into the priesthood and vocational mission or whatever. But for me at this point right now in my own spiritual life, I feel so blessed with the role that I am able to play, you know, both within the universal church, just as someone, you know, who's active in ministry, but also within my family church, just to accept my role, you know, in the heart of our family, as a woman, and what that brings versus what my husband's role brings. And I don't know, it's interesting. I would look around myself at Mass last night and see, you know, that most of the people who were doing active ministry up on the altar were women. Many of the people in the pews were women. I don't feel the limits. I don't feel limits on my ability to serve in the church. I just see open doors. So.
But you, Maria,
what do you think, Beggs?
I learned something actually quite beautiful from Angela Silana many years ago. When we were talking on this theme, and I think I casually, really without thinking about it, said something. I said, "Well, you're the future of the church," and I'm not going to say she took umbrage, but she paused a second and she says, "You know, I'm in the church now. It's not about what it's going to be like in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or when I'm your age. It's, you know, I'm the church now. So how can we be welcoming to them now?" And provide for them the kind of enrichment, the kind of support that they need. I mean, we were talking about it a few minutes ago, you know, how to make it relevant, how to make them feel welcome. And that's really the task that we have. You know, and I think that the best way to do it is that we play our role in the season that we're in to the best of our ability, but that we do it openly and honestly, and that we're not afraid to talk about it. You know, here it would have been ideal maybe to be able to bring in some other, you know, some people from different ages on the, you know, on this journey, because, you know, I look to older women as mentors, as examples of what I can be. And I really take to heart, really, to be encouraging to younger women, you know, on this journey, because we're each season of our lives brings different levels of anxiety and questioning of ourselves and who we are and where we are. And, you know, we don't have a manual, Lisa, but we can certainly be helpful to the next generation. I wish we had a manual, right? But I think that by talking about it and by being open about, especially about our vocation of marriage, because we're both married women, we've been married, you know, I've been married 34 years. I think that you're probably coming up, you know, right close to that, if not at it as well. So what is the best thing that we can do is to live that vocation as wives and as mothers, and now for me as grandmother, to the best of our ability in the Catholic lens, but we don't have to be Catholic in your face. We can just live by that example and casually throw in the conversation when it's appropriate and when it's relevant. To be that example.
Yeah,
I say this is how it works.
I think within our country right now, you know, there's so much happening and through in the lens of women's issues. And we see,
many,
for example, laws changing with respect to the state laws with respect to pro-life issues.
Right.
And even, you know, in the sphere of social media, we have the opportunity to be a light and perhaps most importantly, to walk alongside women who are taking these issues into consideration and trying to understand at all different levels. And, you know, I think women, sometimes we have an insight or we listen to things that aren't necessarily spoken out loud. And so maybe this is a time to reach out privately to a woman, you know, if, if you see her struggling with some of these issues, that some of the work that we can do is just to go directly, you know, this is the receptivity, the accompaniment of that feminine genius, that you can reach out, you know, to a sister, whether she's a sister in Christ or somebody with no faith at all, and kind of hear her heart and just be, you know, be with her in these moments. And I think more than anything now, that's a big thing that we can do, is just have our ears and our hearts really open to women's issues.
No, very, I mean, speaking as a priest, you know, I appreciate so many of the women in my parish. And of course, like many parishes, the vast majority of attendees for Mass are women, you know, and unfortunately my fellow men are falling down on the job, you know, as far as their spiritual life is concerned, you know, it's beautiful to me to see, especially women whose husbands maybe don't understand why they practice their faith, why they go to Mass, why they pray, why they're trying to raise the kids Catholic, why they're trying to do all these things to pass on that faith to the next generation, especially, like I said, when there's too many men who just not living it, you know, and that's something if I could kind of kick the butt of my fellow men, it's like, hey, you guys need to be doing this too, and you need to be supporting your wives in this.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's the longing of a lot of women's hearts. if you were to ask the average Catholic mom out there, one of the greatest desires of her heart, it would be, you know, perhaps to have an equal yoking with her husband in terms of being the spiritual head of her household. That you know, that we want and need our husbands to stand up.
Oh. We achieve that.
Are you going to disagree with me, Maria?
I'm not, because I think you and I are in the same. We're in the same boat, and I, a lot of prayer, many rosaries were said for that completion. You know, and I think that Mary listens, and she asks her son. You know, she's a good intercessor for us, and I think that for women who have that particular suffering in their marriage and in their faith life, can be encouraged to know to pray and to persist in prayer, you know, to persevere in prayer. Sometimes that really does bring us the miracles that we're looking for. I know it worked for me. It's a beautiful thing.
And how about, you know, within, you know, the women's roles within the church. Now, Lisa, you kind of brushed on this a little bit, and I don't want to go too explicit with the issues that are, you know, going on with some of the, you know, within the church and women and people who want to, shall we say, remake the church in their image instead of being remade in Christ's image. But what are things that you see that women, first of all, do well within parishes? You know, what are the roles that you see that they do well within our parishes, our faith communities, our churches, our, just even like our, you know, you mentioned domestic church, you know, our home churches, if you will. And what do you see that they do well?
Yeah, that's a real blessing in my life, as I can look to women who've kind of nurtured and mentored me in my own faith journey. One of my very best friends is the RCIA director at the parish that I was at in Fresno for many years. And I'd say that for many of the people that she has kind of walked alongside into the church, and she is, in a very real sense, you know, she's not the formal pastor of the church, but when they look to who was the one, you know, that was really there for them to ask the hard questions, to help them, you know, at various moments, it was her. And I think we see that with a lot of women in administrative roles now within the church, that whether it's from a business or leadership perspective or from a ministerial perspective, that that women are, you know, at all levels of the parish life, playing a really integral role that actually helps a pastor to be more a spiritual shepherd if he can let go some of those other things. So that immediately comes to mind.
Absolutely. How about you, Maria? Do you have any thoughts on that? Or
I mean, not the direct experience with a dear friend, but certainly you can see that a lot of the women have taken up those roles, and I think some of it by default. you know, that there mm-hmm. that there wasn't someone else there, and you know, they saw a need and were willing to fill it. We have a dear, dear little lady in our parish, and our parish is a membership of under 100 people, not 100 families, 100 mm-hmm. people. And
wow.
the associate pastor is actually a 93-year-old lady who has been in the church for 100 years, and she almost for 100 years, and she takes up the whatever the slack is that the pastor, he's got two churches that he celebrates masses at, and I mean, he hasn't figured out how to bilocate, and so she, you know, she went up to him, you know, and she says, how can I help you? How can I serve? What do you need? You need a Eucharistic minister? I'll do communion services when you need them. You know, I'll take the communion to the sick if you know, you can't do it. And this woman is 93 years old. And I look at her and I think about when I don't feel like getting up and walking across the street to go to daily mass, and she's and she's there. So it's
Maria, you said you called her an associate pastor, but do you mean pastoral associate? Because that's a role that a lot of women are playing around the country.
You know, I think you're right. I think that you're right, that you're using the actual real term. But she's doing this as a volunteer. Yeah. And he jokes and calls her.
Yeah.
His
associate. That's funny.
So he jokes and introduces her that way. But that's what she's doing. She's taken on a lovely administrative role for him, where she picks up the minutia of running a parish, that's like the minutia of running a household. You know, nobody knows how many times I bend over to pick up a sock. You know, nobody knows how many times in a day I'll sweep a spot, because that's where the dog keeps taking his treats to. All you see is that, you know, that my house looks relatively neat, if you can give me a 2-hour warning that you're coming for a visit, you know. So, and that's what she's doing. She's picking up the minutia of the daily administration. And by administration, I mean, she looks on the altar and she sees that one of the petals on the flowers fell, and she'll go up and she'll clean it up. You know, we should all be doing that. We should all be doing mm-hmm. that. But she's the one that's off, as somebody called.
You know, in many parishes, in many parishes, especially smaller parishes, that's a lot of what women did for a long time, is they took care of the grounds. They took care of the cleaning. They took care of the laundry. They took care of all these routine tasks that, unfortunately, for whatever reason, kind of got looked down upon, but they're so important. We need people to keep the church clean. Right. We need people to launder the altar linens, to, you know, make sure the candles are set, make sure, you know, to be sacristans, to do all these different roles. And unfortunately, so many of them, if it wasn't, and you know, this is just, again, my experience as a priest, they were looked down upon if they weren't public roles.
But now... But
I'm not
more,
up there at the altar,
and I don't mean that it's not an important thing. But we have so many women now who have degrees in theology, who can teach, and who can run programs, and who run RCIA programs, yep. and who you know, run adult formation programs,
absolutely.
And who can do, who are doing spiritual direction, you know, in a parish or in a religious absolutely. Community. And so I think that women have felt comfortable stepping into these roles, whether or not it was because by default there were holes that needed to be filled, or if they felt empowered to participate mm-hmm. at that level. And I think it's a little bit of both. I think that it's a lot of feeling that this is my role too, that this is my church too, and this is, you know, this is how I'm going to contribute to the church, because this is my strength mm-hmm. and my gift.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to negate that role either, because it is important to have, you know, women theologians and all these other roles, because they bring, you know, a different perspective than, you know, just as anybody brings a different perspective from other people, men and women do look at things generally a little bit differently. you know, and sometimes it's seemingly a lot differently, you know, but it's important to have both perspectives, you know, so, and it is, and yeah, someone can do spiritual direction. You know, there may be a woman who could do spiritual direction far better than I ever could, because they look at it from a different perspective that is more helpful to others than, say, mine would be, as even though I'm the priest, I'm the one who's supposed to know it all. Well, maybe not. But
I think it's good that it's a topic that the church continues to discuss and to look at, and, you know, that we continue to see at the highest levels that, you know, this is a point of conversation. And I think the tension is not necessarily a bad thing if we can have productive dialogue around it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, you know, and kind of going into that, what are some, you know, and I kind of maybe something tread a little lightly on my part, but, you know, what are some things that you maybe you could see that rules that women could take up that maybe aren't being filled?
Are you trying to get us in trouble, Father Corey?
No, and that's why I'm saying tread lightly, because
Lisa, they're women priests.
Let's put it this way. I yeah, see, that's the one I didn't
know.
No,
you know, when I will say one conversation that is open right now, and that I'm really praying just for an infiltration of the Holy Spirit into this dialogue, is, you know, a look at the permanent diaconate. I know that that's an ongoing conversation, and both within our church in the United States and in Rome. And I think that, you know, a look at how deacons serve at the diaconate on an ongoing basis. You know, and certainly I know so many women who are married to deacons and who see, rightly so, their marriage vocation as a part of their spouse's vocation to the mm-hmm. diaconate, the joint a joint vocation. So I think that'll be an interesting one to watch as it moves forward.
Right. You know, and my just kind of my thought on that is if you know, because repeatedly Rome has kind of said that, you know, there were women who were called deacons or deaconesses, if you want to use mm-hmm. that term, but they weren't exactly the same. You know, there wasn't an ordination that was the same. And then you get other people say, no, there were, and, you know, and I wonder if, even if they didn't have equal, I hate that term. And as soon as I said it, I knew it was probably was not a great term, but you know, even if they're not,
if they're not executing parallel, the same, you know, duties, where is that what you're going for? They weren't necessarily executing the same duties.
Right. 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 You know, if there is a parallel for women where they can give themselves to the service of the church in the same way that deacons give themselves in the service of the church, you know, but with whatever, however that ministry plays out, you know, I wonder if that's a possibility in the future, because again, you know, right now it is an issue that's been argued for the last, I suppose, well, in depth last, what, 15 years or so, I think, but it's still, there's people on both sides saying, one side wants to say it's settled, it's done, the other side says no, it's not.
Yeah, well, I and I guess talking about it without an actual possibility for seeing a change is kind of a moot thing, but I'd really like to see more active administrative participation, because at the moment we can't do the sacraments. So what work can we do, and what work can we do that's going to be good work and that's going to be fruitful work? And I think that bringing business acumen into the business side of a church setting is essential. But also there's a possibility for pastoral strengths to come in and to some of that work as well. So I think that there's room for women to do some probably really high level work in the church administratively. If we can't do the sacraments, what can we do that supports the sacrament? Well, we need to keep the building going. We need to keep the community going. We need to support those people who can bring us the sacrament. So working with the seminarians, working at instructional levels, there's anything that women, I mean, it was St. Teresa Benedicta, right? Edith Stein, who said that there isn't anything that women can't do in the workforce. And so bring it on. There's a place right. for women. But, you know, you look at some dioceses and you look at who the heads of all the ministries are, and they tend to be priests who are.
I'd like to know what those.
And then it'll trickle down into positions with women. But I mean, I can look at, I don't want to name my own diocese in this, but okay, I just did. All the heads of everything.
Yeah.
All the heads of everything are priests, you know, and then there's the number two guy.
Yeah.
Who's not a guy. It's a woman who's actually probably running the show because the priest also has other duties in addition to whatever that administrative thing was. So I don't know. I don't know that we want to open what that means in other areas too, to include women. But I think that we need to have a stronger presence.
Right. Well, it's, I mean, I can speak for my diocese as there's an openness to it. Like, currently our chancellor is a man, but his predecessor was a religious sister, actually, you know, the head of our tribunal, not the vicar general, because that by canon law has to be a priest, but the head of our tribunal. So she's the one who, well, is a woman, as you know, like, by what I said, you know, that she's the one who, you know, ranges the tribunal. She's really the administrator of the tribunal, you know. She's not the judge, but she's the one that does all the paperwork for the tribunal, does all the chasing for the tribunal, you know, all the things that need to happen to have a tribunal, you know, and things along that line. And of course, you know, and of course you look at many parishes, you know, Lisa mentioned, you know, pastoral associates, you know, not associate pastors or parochial vicars, because obviously that is a priest role, but, you know, pastoral associates, where it's women who are kind of the right hand man, quote unquote, of the priest, you know. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of administrative stuff. Just, I don't care who does it, just so it's not.
Well, I, you know, and I'm willing to bet that if we really, if we just wait and watch a little bit, I think that change is happening, and it's happening organically, as in women coming forward and saying, "I have these credentials, and this is what I want to do," and they're being, you know, that they're finding a placement, as opposed to someone going out with a particular agenda and saying, "Listen, we need to fill these slots and they should be women." I think that women are coming forward with the credentials at this point. I think that they see women are increasingly seeing a place and a role for themselves at these levels in the church. And on the other side, I'll just put a little shout out at, you know, and kudos to my husband, who has now been the church secretary for 6 months in our parish.
Yeah, good for him.
And you know what? That kind of points to one of the things that I wanted to say about this, which is, like, let's stop looking at the things that we can't do. And let's go as John did, Maria's husband, who saw a role that needed filling, who had a skill set, who had an open heart to serve, and regardless gender associated normally with the position, went to his pastor and said, "How can I help you?" And I think that's where, rather than continuing to dwell on the things that we can't do, you know, how can we open our hearts and pray on a daily basis to give the church and our communities
fantastic.
Our yes, the way that we were taught to do.
Well put.
And, you know, I think, you know, as immediately as I look at it, there's very little that I, as a priest, have to do. You know, I have to celebrate Mass. I can't delegate that. I can't say, "Maria, why don't you come up and celebrate Mass this week?" I know priests have tried that and they've gotten in trouble for it, rightfully so. But again, there's a lot of these administrative issues. There's a
I was going to say something. Sorry, go ahead.
But
you can't delegate that. You got to do it.
No, but because I can't delegate it to any lay person at all. It doesn't matter, male or female, you know. But there's a lot of roles in the church, a lot of roles that we need filled, you know, when whether it is on a volunteer level, on a part time, full time staff level, whatever it might be. You know, there, I don't know of a single parish that sits there and says, "Yeah, we got all our work covered." And the priest just shows up and does what he has to do, and that's it. I have never seen that parish. because that parish, by and large, does not exist.
And yet, I'm still really ruminating on what Lisa said. And what a beautiful thing if we would just support and promote giving our yes, and then just jumping in and doing the work that needs to be done, being the hands and feet of Christ. He wasn't asking if you were a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. He was saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love one another. Yep. And that means sometimes stepping into positions and roles and work that maybe we didn't feel equipped to do, or we were, hesitant to do. And yet here we are doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I kind of fell into this whole business of what I'm doing today, which is, I don't know what, evangelization. He asked me when I was, I don't know. It was an accident. I accidentaled myself into it.
Funny how God works that way.
Indeed.
I think everybody who's got a story involved in the church, they'll say they've accidentally ended up there. Shouldn't plan on it, but oh well. Were there any other comments either of you would like to make as we kind of wrap up this discussion?
I just want to say thank you to you for being open to having it. And, and I love that we can have these conversations. We can ask each other to pray for each other, to be obedient to our roles, to have a heart, willing to love and serve, a heart open to what the church needs. We know all the things that are wrong right now, and the solution is not to sit around dwelling on those, but just to pray about how we can be an answer to the work that needs to be done. So I'm grateful, Father Corey, for your priesthood and for your mentorship with us, and for being open to getting in touch with your conversation about Catholic women. That's all. Yeah,
that's a good thing. How about you, Maria?
I wanted to return earlier to where we can, what saints we can look to for encouragement, especially when we're praying for our spouses, or for that person who we'd like to see the Holy Spirit open them up a little bit. And I was remembering Elizabeth Le Sueur, who was a married woman whose husband was not a believer, and she prayed for him incessantly. And she eventually passed away. She was ill. She had, I think it was breast cancer that she died from. And her husband was so moved by the effort that she had made throughout her life and their marriage praying for him, that he was converted and eventually became a priest. Talk about a deep conversion. Other saints, Saint Rita of Cassia, who prayed also ceaselessly for her husband's conversion. She had a terrible marriage, and for her sons. These are women who are flesh and bone, who have experienced, the same kind of things in their vocations as ours. We just have different technology today, but it's, we're still the same human beings that have been around throughout history. So look to, don't be afraid to find a patron saint that you're going to, pray to, pray for, pray with, ask for intercession, to help us through these periods. So anyway, that's what I was kind of caught in that, and I didn't get a chance to say it earlier. So I'm going to throw her out now. Elizabeth Le Sueur. Fantastic.
Sure. Excellent. Yeah, and we'll make sure to put her in the show notes, at least mention a link to her in the show notes, because that's a great, great example. Yeah, absolutely. Well, very good. Well, thank you both for your willingness to have this discussion as well. It's an issue that obviously is important in the church, so it's something we need to talk about. Before we go on to our picks of the week, just take a quick break to thank everyone for listening to Let's Talk. We appreciate everyone who listens, who subscribes, who likes our episodes, especially on YouTube and Facebook and places like that. You can find all our podcasts on our SQPN Facebook page, StarQuest Production Network Facebook page. Also, we have a YouTube site. You can find these things. Of course, you can subscribe to all of our podcasts on your favorite podcast listeners, Stitcher and iTunes and Google Podcasts and all these other podcasts. And please do share our shows. Of course, we want others to listen, and I hope you enjoy them enough that you're willing to share them with others. We especially are appreciative of our patrons, our Patreon patrons, which I always love trying to say that five times fast because your tongue gets tied up. But our Patreon patrons who support us and help us keep the lights on so we can continue this podcast and all of our podcasts with this one, Secrets of Doctor Who, Catholics of Oz, Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, all of our great podcasts. Today, I'd especially like to thank a couple of our patrons, Tony G., Edward R., Derek M., Steve H., and Terry R. Thank you and all of our patrons for your support. If you'd like to join our patrons keep supporting SQPN, you can go to sqpn.com/give and click the link for Patreon. And there you can sign up at different levels. And depending on what levels you have, you sign up at, might even have some books for you to as a thank you gift for helping us out. So please do take a look at that. All right, we're going to, now that our pictures have been taken, Maria was just taking a picture of the Skype call on her phone. Maria, how would you like to go first for
pick of the week? Oh, I have such a self-serving pick of the week. I can't even begin to tell you because I have a new book out.
It's great. That's great.
Oh, you better not steal mine. Oh, you're stealing mine.
Well, then,
has there ever been the same pick of the week twice? Go ahead, Maria. Go ahead.
In the interest of humility, I'll let you have the pick of the week. Whatever.
Do you have a backup one? It's so good. It deserves to be the pick of the week twice. But I'll go first, Father Corey. Is that okay?
Sure.
Because I want to offer my pick of the week, which is this fabulous new book from best-selling author Maria Moreira Johnson called Our Lady of Charity, How a Cuban Devotion to Mary Helped Me Grow in Faith and Love. And I think that if we're looking at this particular topic of growing in faith, growing in an understanding of the vocation to Catholic womanhood in the church, that Maria's book is the perfect read. It's uplifting. It's inspirational. It has Maria's candid sense of openness about her faith journey. It has some little Cuban stuff sprinkled in to keep you very interested. It's just wonderful. So you can get it anywhere that you get Catholic books. It's from Ave Maria Press, but you can definitely find it at your local Catholic bookstore or at Amazon or Barnes.
Excellent.
And it's really wonderful. So check it out.
Oh, thanks. You see, that was way the heck better than what I was going to do. So my pick of the week is hearkening to the days of Catholic Weekend. I am really enjoying using the remember when we did a mechanical pencil one time? I want to promote Perpetual Adoration because I'm working on this project right now to get Perpetual Adoration going in our diocese. We used to have a Perpetual Adoration chapel and circumstances closed it down. And then, you know, when you close something down like that, it kind of disappears, goes by the wayside. So I started a personal project to pray for this. I'm on a steering committee to bring it to the diocese. And I started something I call it 100 Days with Christ. And I just committed to 100 days of doing a holy hour. And I'm about 28 days in. And let me tell you how difficult that is. Because so many churches are locked anymore. And so I'm like at day 28, pray for me that I finish this project, but pray for the success of this Eucharistic adoration here in our diocese. But for you, listener, go find an hour somewhere in your diocese and just sit with Jesus. And there doesn't have to be exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus is right there in the tabernacle. My goodness, what a sense of peace it's brought me in just 1 month. Beautiful, beautiful experience. So my pick of the week, Eucharistic Adoration. Do it.
There we go. Excellent. Yeah, so definitely something we need more of in the church today is prayer before our Lord. So I echo that 100%. That's excellent. So And then finally, for my pick this week, one thing we've finally done, people have been getting after me for a while about this, is we finally signed up with the Formed Project. If you're not familiar with Formed, it's really spearheaded by the Ignatius Institute, but other groups have plugged into it. Lighthouse Media, which merged with Ignatius Institute eventually. A couple others. I think Ignatius Press is one that works with them a lot. And it's, I call it Netflix for Catholics, but it's much, much, much more than that. Because you can find videos to watch. You can find their movies. There's a lot of really good Catholic movies. Some are pretty typical Catholic movies, but some of them are pretty good. Then there's all kinds of different topics. There's saints, and there's talks on different Catholic things. You know, like if you're familiar with the Lighthouse Catholic CDs, all those kind of talks are on there. There's audiobooks and even audio dramas. Augustine Institute. Forgive me those listening. I'm getting Ignatius Press and Augustine Institute. Augustine Institute is actually putting out audio dramas now, and they've started with with The Adventures of Robin Hood, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. They do a really good job with the audio, you know, with background noises, and the people who do the voice acting are quite good, you know. If you go to what your parishes can pay for, they just have a preview, but then you can buy more. But there's all kinds of material. Actually, I just did a quick search, and Lisa, you're even on it.
I was going to say, I was waiting for you to say that, but you can read my Chime Traveler series for children on Formed. Yes. All five books of the Chime Traveler series are there. So start off with The Secret of the Shamrock and Time Travel to Meet St. Patrick.
Yeah. So you're also a part of a video you did with the USCCB and Catholic Relief Services.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Called Family, Community, and Participation. You're also
Hendy is a superstar, so, you know.
Lots of material.
She's...
Yeah. Yeah, so you can hear from her and read from her. And
I love Formed, though. It's really a wonderful resource and a great gift indeed. That our parishes are providing.
And this is the best part is you can go and sign up for Formed. It's formed.org. And you can sign up for you know, I think it's $100 individual account per year. However, but wait, there's more. You know, got to have the telemarketer or the TV spokesperson. But wait, there's more. If your parish signs up to a parish account, and there's different levels depending on the size of the parish, your parish can publish a link that parishioners can go and sign up for free. So our parish just did this. This is what we finally got around to getting done. And so any parishioners of my parish can go to our bulletin, go to the back of the church where we've got flyers put up, and take that link and go and create an account, and they have access to all this material for absolutely free. It doesn't cost them a penny. Now, if they want to contribute to next year's payment by the parish, so let's say, in my case, $900 a year, because again, we're a very small parish. People can contribute to that, so it costs the parish less next year. You know, kind of like a GoFundMe type setup with Inform. But, and I hope if you go and check out all the information, there's just lots of great stuff. There's nonfiction and fiction books like The Chime Travelers. There's all kinds of, you know, saint stories and teachings of the popes and bishops and you name it. Again, there's just so much stuff out there, you know, Scott Hahn material and, you know, you name it. You name the person who's taught in the church and you'll probably find something from them. So go check it out. It's fantastic, especially if your parish has it. Take advantage of it. You will not be disappointed. One nice thing, especially if you do sign up through your parish can set up communities within it. So you can have discussion groups. You can have studies, group studies from home within it. So there's so much good stuff. Anyways, just go check it out if you have it. If you have it, if you have checked it out, sign into it and use it, because it's so much great stuff. So, well, thank you both again for coming on. This was a good discussion, and it was something I think we needed to have. Maria, where could people find you, especially your brand new book?
You can go to Ave Maria Press or Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or my personal favorite, go to the Catholic bookstores and see if they have it there. You can read some of my stuff at mariamjohnson.com. And you can follow me on Facebook at Maria Johnson and Pat Bago on Twitter. And I think I'm spending a lot of more time on Instagram, Bago Johnson. So I'm all over.
Oh, very good. And Lisa, how about you? Where can people find you?
Oh, at my website, lisahendy.com, or on social media at Lisa Hendy. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Well, and I want to say just one quick thing. We can't officially say anything, but Maria and I will have an announcement coming in early June about something very exciting that involve both of us. And we're so excited. And so just pray for God's will to be done with this, and stay tuned for more information.
I got a little bit of a teaser through our chat group that we have, and it's something you're going to want to watch out for, because I can guarantee you it's going to be good. So keep an eye out for it. And once again, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find my website, frcorey.org, where I post my homilies. My Facebook page is Father Corey Stika, spelled out. My Twitter handle is frcoreystika. If you would like to leave us feedback for this episode of Let's Talk, or any episode, you can send it to letstalk@sqpn.com. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.